What I wanted to talk about today was something that has been inspiring me so much in the last couple of days, and that is the notion of going into the celebration of Yom Tov by giving tzedakah. This is something that we find is a really important consideration, certainly when we come to the celebration of Pesach. The Ramah, in fact, writes in the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Siman Tav Chav Tes, Seif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch begins by saying, Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag, 30 days before Pesach. We have to start looking into all the halachos and making sure we know how to kasher, making sure we know how to do bedikah, making sure we know everything that we need to know. But then the Ramah adds on to that and he says the following. Minhag liknos chitim ulachalkan la'aniyim l'tzorach ha-pesach. We have a practice that we buy wheat and we give it out to those who are in need. V'chol mi shadar be'ir yudbeis chodesh. And anyone who has been a resident of our town for the last 12 months, tzorich litein lazeh. It's like a tax, says the Ramah, that every member of the community has an obligation to give money toward those who are in need before Pesach. You know, the last couple of days, I've had so many inspiring people in the community who have come to me and said, I really want that others should enjoy the Yom Tov. It shouldn't just be me and my family. Can you give out money? Can you tell people that if they need anything, they can come to the supermarket, I'll pay their bill. I just had someone today, a family of, I'm not going to give away any details, but let's just say a family of 8 children. It's not what it was, but it was, let's say, a family of 8 children. And a terrible tragedy befell this family, and they're dealing with something really, really difficult. And an owner of a supermarket told me that, send them to the supermarket, and I will cover all of their Pesach expenses, whatever they need, something they don't have to worry about. And the woman literally broke down crying on the phone. And I said to this man, I said, do you understand that for $1,500 or $2,000, which is a lot of money, but obviously you can afford it, you're the owner of a big enterprise, look what you just did. Look what you just did. And this is what the Ramah says. This is what we need to think about. Last week, somebody from the shul came over to me, and he handed me 10 checks of $500 each, and he said, I don't want to know who they go to. It's not my business what their need is, but I trust you that you know who the people in need are. And please give it out properly and appropriately to people who need help for Yom Tov. And it's just amazing. It's amazing how many wonderful people there are. And the truth is, we don't all have the ability to do things on that level. But we all have the ability to do something to alleviate some of the anxiety or the pressure that some families are feeling going into Yom Tov. And that's really something that has inspired me. And that's why I wanted to talk about this, not only because it's a very important topic to talk about before Yom Tov, but also because it's something that is relevant to this week's parsha, as you will see. My father often points out that when we talk about Yizkor, so Yizkor is often misunderstood. People think the reason why we say Yizkor is because we want to remember those who are no longer here on Yom Tov. How can we spend a Yom Tov without our loved ones? Now, that sounds like a nice idea. The problem is that Yizkor is a time when many people cry. And you're not really supposed to cry on Yom Tov. You're supposed to be happy. So why would we institute something in the davening that's going to evoke so much powerful emotion? In fact, this is the reason why many Achronim say that the first year after somebody loses a relative, they don't say Yizkor in that first year. Why not? Because the first year is going to be such a powerful emotion that's going to be evoked when they say Yizkor, because they have such strong, fond memories of that loved one. It's not appropriate to say Yizkor the first year, because no one's supposed to be crying on Yom Tov. Well, if that's the case, what is Yizkor all about? Why do we say Yizkor? My father often likes to explain the reason why we say Yizkor has nothing to do with inviting our relatives who are deceased into our homes on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That is not what it's about. Rather, Yizkor is about the following. The whole objective of every Yom Tov is that if you enjoyed the opportunity to spend Yom Tov with your family and to use your money and be able to have a wonderful week or day of celebration, you have to think about the opportunity that others may not have, like you may have had. And that's really what Yom Tov is supposed to be about, to give us the opportunity to think about those who may not have the pleasurable experiences that we are able to experience. This is why on Yom Tov we read, Aser to Aser Eskol Tevuas Zarecha. This is why on Yom Tov we always read the Kriya Satorah that talks about giving Miser, or giving Tzedakah, because that's really the objective of Yom Tov, is that we should all have the opportunity to see the deficiencies of others and realize how much we can be of assistance to them. Therefore, when we experience Yom Tov, and we're going to pledge to give money to other people. By Yizkor, we always make an appeal. Why do we make an appeal? Make an appeal because we want people to give tzedakah. Agav, while we're making the appeal to encourage people to give tzedakah, we say to them, oh, if you're going to give tzedakah, you may as well use it as a schus for the loved one that's no longer here. So that's why we say Yizkor. It's backhanded. We invite the other relatives that are no longer here, those who are deceased, because we say, not that we can't spend the yontif without you, even though that's true. We can't spend the yontif without you, but this is not bringing you back. So what's Yizkor about? Yizkor is, once we're pledging to do a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the merit of the tzedakah that we're giving and the sensitivity that we're going to have to other people, we hope that our niftar should have an aliyas haneshama. But really, the objective of the whole thing is just to give tzedakah, and that's why we read Aser ta Aser on Yom Tov, because that's really something that has to be a primary focus. So that's why the Ramah writes here, when it comes to Pesach, Kimcha de Pischa is something that is very important, and the Mishneh Berurah says that this is a age-old minag mizman ha-gemara. This is something that the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that was done already in the times of the Gemara. So the question is, why is it that there's such an emphasis when it comes to Pesach as opposed to Shavuos and Sukkos? Here, when it comes to Pesach, the Ramah makes sure to remind us that 30 days before Yom Tov, you already have to start preparing, and part of the preparation needs to be that you have to think about all of the aniyim in town. Why is this something that is emphasized here when we don't talk about it on Sukkos or on Shavuos, which obviously it's important then as well? So why is it mentioned here? The Shaar HaTzion, which is written by the Mishneh Berurah, writes, maybe the reason why, listen to his words, is because Pesach is Man Cheirus. As we know, Pesach is Man Cheirusenu. V'yoshvin u'mesubim kal echad hu u'beisa barov simcha. And we all sit around our tables, and we're supposed to have a feeling of simcha. Says the Mishneh Berurah, Ein ze kavod laHashem shehaniyim yiyu re'evim utzumayim. It wouldn't be kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that on the time when we're supposed to celebrate B'nei Chorin, that some of his children are going to be sitting there without food. So it's not because we're so sensitive to the aniyim. And it's not because we're so worried about them. That has to be all the time. Why should Pesach be any different? We should always provide for the aniyim. But here we have an extra special consideration, and that is, go deeper into your pockets. Try to give a little bit more. Try to be of assistance to someone else. Try to alleviate their pain. Why? Because you want them to have the experience of being a B'nei Chorin. Why? Because it would be a bizayon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if his children couldn't feel that they were B'nei Chorin. Such an amazing formulation that the Mishneh Berurah has, and I find that to be very, very fascinating. And in fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, nothing to do with Pesach, but in general, the Rambam says that when we have the opportunity, kishu ocha v'shosa, when I'm eating, when I'm drinking, when I'm celebrating on Yom Tov, chayiv lahachil lager l'yasam v'la'amana im shar ha'aniyim ha'umlalim. It is imperative that a person makes sure to involve the ger, the yasom, the almana, which are only examples. It doesn't mean them in particular, but it does mean if you have somebody who unfortunately is going through a situation where they're made to feel like an outcast, where they don't feel comfortable, where they feel they don't have a place, you should make sure over Yom Tov that you invite them, that you engage them, that you do something to include them in your celebration. That is what the Rambam writes. I was always inspired. I don't know if you know Rabbi Eitan Feiner. He's a very, very special person in so many different ways. But one thing that I was always inspired by was, every Yom Tov, you should see what his Yom Tov table looks like. Unfortunately, he only has one son. His one son is actually a very sick child. He's 14 years old now. He has a lot of medical complications. So their table is really only the three of them. It's him, his wife, and his son. His son doesn't eat. His son is on a feeding tube. So he sits by the table in a wheelchair, but he's not one of the counted members for the meal. But something that I was always inspired by was, you look around this table and it's literally every Nebuch in Far Rockaway is invited to his home for Yom Tov. His sukkah is filled with unfortunate circumstances. And I'm sure it doesn't make it so easy to have all these people by your table. Not always are they the ones who you always want to be having around your table for Yom Tov, but to me, it is so inspiring to see it. And it's really what the Rambam writes, that that's what Yom Tov is, to try to engage, to try to invite people in. I saw a discussion in one of the Svarim, what if inviting people in, all the Nebuchs of town, what if inviting people in is going to actually hinder your own Shalom Bayis? Your spouse is going to say, I don't want all these people here. You know, I'm not interested in hosting people who we're not friendly with or people who we're not comfortable having in the house. So is that something that I still have a chiyuv to do? The answer to that is no. V'samachta b'chagecha first means make sure your family is comfortable with it. Beyond that, you should try to engender a feeling in your house where they should be comfortable with that. Anybody here from Fair Lawn? Yeah? You remember the Rabbi Yudin days?
Yeah.
You know, the man is amazing. His house, I remember going there as a kid, I was almost like scared to sleep in his house. You just never knew who was going to pop out of which room when. There were literally people everywhere, as if Ke'ilu was their own house. You have people who build homes like that. You have people who have a certain kind of atmosphere in their house where everyone's just comfortable with people who need a place, who don't otherwise have a place. He literally had homeless people sleeping in the middle of the kitchen. I have vivid memories. Hard to block these memories out. But it's really amazing and inspiring. So the Rambam says, you don't have to go that far, but the Rambam says that you should try during Yom Tov to pay attention to the Ger, the Yasam, the Almana. So nobody in our class is married, and you're not going to have your own table, and it's not up to you who to invite or who not to invite. You're not the one running the meals. But I would say to you that there is something else you can do. Before Yom Tov, if you're not in charge of who to invite and your parents are not interested in you making your own decisions, I would say maybe take the Rambam a little differently. Maybe make a list of a few almanas in your neighborhood who are probably feeling very uncomfortable going into Yom Tov spending it alone, even if they're going to be with family. They're not going to be with their spouses. Think about a ger or a yasom in the neighborhood who would really appreciate a phone call. Send the almana flowers. How much is it going to cost you already? Do something. Do something to lift the spirits of someone who's unfortunately going to feel uncomfortable. And that's what the Rambam tells us we should be focusing on. Avol, says the Rambam, Misha Noel Dalsos Chatzero. Somebody who prepares a whole Yom Tov, and I go away on a Pesach program. I don't mean only that, but whatever. I go away somewhere, and I lock the doors, and I say, oh, look how beautiful my Yom Tov is, and I have all my children and grandchildren here, and I'm going to shut out everybody else from that experience. And I'm there, Ve'ochel V'shoseh, Hu Bana V'yishto, says the Rambam, and here I am with my wife, with my family, with my grandchildren, with everybody involved, and I lock the door. And I say, this is not meant for anyone outside of my little circle, says the Rambam. Ve'eno machil u'mashke la'aniyim mari nefesh. And you don't give thought to make sure that you're trying in some way to alleviate the pain of those mare nefesh. What does mare nefesh mean? People who are depressed, people who are anxious about something, people who are under pressure, people who have an uncomfortable situation. Says the Rambam, Ein ze simchas mitzvah ala simchas kreso. You're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of simchas Yom Tov. This is simchas kreso. This is using Yom Tov as an opportunity to indulge yourself. This is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And says the Rambam, this is what we need to think about as we go into the celebration of every Yom Tov. And especially, as we said, when it comes to Pesach, we need to really, really think about that. I remember when Rabbi Billet, who is the rabbi of our shul, he retired a couple of years ago, when he used to sell the chametz. So you have people coming in, they talk to the rabbi, sell the chametz. So I remember he used to ask people, if I'm not mistaken, he used to ask people, where are you going to be for Pesach? Okay, we're going to be home, we're going to be there, whatever it is, fine. Somebody said, you know, somebody used to come in and say, I'm going on a Pesach program. Rabbi Billet used to ask him, how much money are you spending for your family to go away for Pesach? We all know it's an exorbitant amount of money. Well, then you have to give X percentage to tzedakah. If that's what you feel comfortable spending for your family, then you also have to factor in, what are you going to give to tzedakah as you spend that money on your family? Fine. Enjoy your Yom Tov. Have a great time. Go away with your family. You can afford it. Go wherever you want. But keep in mind what the Rambam says. That's not Simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Yom Tov is having the opportunity to keep Mare Nefesh in mind. And it's so special that we have that experience and we have so many people who really care to do that. Rav Zsolti writes in the Sefer Mishnas Yaivitz that we have a concept of a matana amanas lahachzir. Matana amanas lahachzir means if somebody needs a loan, if somebody needs to borrow money, so I give them money, but it's amanas lahachzir. It's with the intention that they're going to give it back. Is that a mitzvah of tzedakah or not? In general, he has this discussion. The poskim discuss, is that called tzedakah or not? After all, tzedakah means somebody needs help, and I step in and I help them. So it should be tzedakah. On the other hand, the poskim say, yeah, but it's a temporary tzedakah because he's going to give it back to you. So that's not really tzedakah. Here, says the Mishnah Yaivitz, even though it's true, some say maybe it is tzedakah, some say it's not, when it comes to the mitzvah, in particular by Simchas Yom Tov, that would not be counted. Because the point is that I should give someone the presence of mind to be calm, to enjoy, but if they know in the back of their minds they're going to have to pay me back for the money that I gave them, that doesn't count. That's not called the mitzvah of tzedakah. I should give it with a whole heart. Now again, not everyone is in a position to give significant funds, but everyone on their own level should try to extend themselves a little bit. And this doesn't matter if you're single, it doesn't matter if you're married, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. It's important that we all make an effort to try as we go into Yom Tov to do whatever we can to lift the spirits of those who need it. The Beis HaLevi writes a very interesting drasha in his Sefer on Chumash where he says, why is it that we say at the very beginning of Magid, Kol Dichvin Yesev V'Yechol, whoever needs a place should come in. What does that have to do with Pesach Matzah Umar? What does it have to do with the Seder? Why are we all of a sudden opening our door and saying everyone should come in? And why does that come at the very beginning of the Haggadah? And he says, perhaps the reason why, Al Derech HaDrash, he says the reason why is perhaps because when we talk about the Yom Tov of Pesach and we have feelings and thoughts about Geula, so the Beis HaLevi says what it's supposed to really make us feel is we come to a time when we're celebrating Geula and we hope we will come to a time when we'll celebrate the Geula Asida, when we'll celebrate the ultimate Geula. Now, what schus do we have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to a Geula? Are we so wonderful? Are we so righteous? Are we greater than the Vilna Gaon? Are we greater than the Chasam Sofer and the Rashba and the Ramban? So why should we get a Geula? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's going to come a time, Chishiv Yisakeitz Lasos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's going to come a time where enough with Galus. Are you the one who's really worthy to be redeemed? No. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is it. The same way he said it by Mitzrayim, someday he's going to say it by us as well. However, the pasuk says, "Shimru mishpat va'asu tzedakah ki krova yishuasi lavo v'tzidkasi lehigalos." He says that when we think about the opportunity that we have to do tzedakah and to really highlight the aspect of ben adam l'chavero and caring about other people, that is the way that perhaps we can be zocha to a geula. And therefore, he says that's why we say kol dichven yeseh ve'yechol, followed by l'shan haba ba'ar di Yisrael. What's the connection? That maybe because we're being so open-hearted, and it doesn't mean I open my door and I let people start walking into my house on Leil HaSeder unexpectedly. It means, leading up to the Pesach Seder, I was generous in spirit, I was generous in heart, and I was willing to try to allow other people to engage in my Simchas Yom Tov as well by sharing with them. Says the Beis HaLevi, if you do that, and you go into Yom Tov with that kind of perspective, you have a right to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'shana haba b'yarad Yisrael. I hope that in my merit of all that I've given and all that I've done to try to strengthen my aspect of Ben Adam L'Chaveira, I hope that I will then have the opportunity to celebrate in Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so tzedakah is something that is very, very important. And that is certainly something that we engage in throughout the year. But when it comes to the time of Yom Tov, we try our best to really do whatever we can to help others and to really pay attention to what it is that will help them have an enhanced Simchas Yom Tov. When we talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah in general, and you see in a minute what this has to do with our parsha, when we talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah in general, there is a tshuva in the Rashba where he quotes one of the other Rishonim. I'm not familiar with who the Rishon is. Mahari ibn Palat. I don't know anything about him. I'm sure I can find out, but I just didn't have time today. So the Rashba quotes from the Mahari ibn Palat that we do not make a bracha when we give tzedakah. Why don't we make a bracha when we give tzedakah? We make a bracha every time we do any mitzvah. Mitzvah d'araisa, mitzvah d'rabanan. Why don't we make a bracha before we give tzedakah? And the answer is because tzedakah is one of those mitzvahs that is talei b'das acherim. Tzedakah is one of those mitzvahs that I need another person to join in my participation in order for it to be fulfilled. So let's say I stand there, there's an ani who comes and collects money. And I stand there and I say, 1 second, I have money for you, but let me just make a bracha. And I start having shuckling with all my kavana. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kedushan mitzvos v'tzivanu. Al mitzvos tzedakah, whatever it is. By the time I open my eyes after this half-hour bracha that I just had all the kavana in, the ani ran away. You know how humiliating that is? You know how embarrassing? He doesn't want to stick around, so he's not there. Then I say, nu, it's a hefsik. What am I going to do? I made the bracha. Says the Rashba, we have a principle. Anytime, you know the story? Dying al kiddush Hashem? Is that why you're joking? No. Oh, so the Pesachei Tshuva writes, it's not so funny, but it is funny. So the Pesachei Tshuva writes that when somebody dies al kiddush Hashem, Rachman al Itzlan, when somebody sees that they're about to lose their life al kiddush Hashem, they should make a bracha. Sher kiddushan mitzvah sa tzivanu al kiddush Hashem. Why not? It's a mitzvah to give my life up al kiddush Hashem. Usually a person doesn't have a few seconds to choose. But if the Nazi guard is standing there in front of the person about to shoot him and he says whatever it is, before dying al kiddush Hashem, you make this bracha. Okay. So they say the story about the brisker. You know, the briskers are very scrupulous, very careful. So they say somebody once came to a brisker and he's holding a gun to his head And he says, either you, whatever, you bow down to Avodah Zarah, I'm going to kill you. Briska says, okay, you can kill me, I'll kiddush Hashem, but I have to make a bracha. So he has all his kavanah, he's mustering up all his strength, and he's, you know, having all of his intense concentration, and he's saying the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Kiddush Hashem. He's so excited, like Rabbi Akiva, he can give his life up Al Kiddush Hashem. And he opens his eyes, and the murderer got so scared from all of his heebie-jeebie that he was doing, that he ran away. He opens his eyes, and he sees the guy's not here. And he starts running after him. He says, no, you know, it's a hepsik, I made the bracha already. So that's the joke. If you didn't get it, it's fine, we'll go back to the story. But says the Rashba, the basic point is that whenever I have a mitzvah where I need somebody else to participate in it, how can I make a bracha? Maybe it's not going to turn out that the person will accept it. If he's not going to accept my money, so then the bracha would be a bracha levatela. I remember my father, it's like, it amazes me every time I think about it. My father gives out so much tzedakah. He's not a rich person. He's not a wealthy person at all. I think he told me once that he gives out more than 65% of his earnings every year to tzedakah. He doesn't have a kupa. He doesn't have people who give him money to give out. He doesn't have like balabatim and hashul who entrust him with money. My father gives out his own money, and people line up at my parents' door every single day. They think he has a Karen. They think he has a fund, but he doesn't. Literally, he gives away everything he has for other people. It's amazing. One of the amazing things. But really, this has been going on for years. So I remember there was somebody who came from Eretz Yisrael. He's talking to my father in the living room. And by the way, this was when my father came home from a shiur, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, that he was giving a shiur somewhere else. There were people line up outside the building to follow him in. This was every single night, Kaseder. So I remember there was somebody who came in, sitting with my father. My father wrote him a check. He gives it to him. The man looks at the check and he starts complaining to my father. I don't understand. This is the check you give me? Like this is, you know, he was disappointed that it was not enough. My father said, please give it back to me. He gave it back to him. My father ripped it up in front of his face and said, please leave my house right now. So if you know my father, which I don't know if you do or you don't, he's the softest, kindest, gentlest, most sensitive person. I know the newspapers don't portray him that way, but he really is the biggest teddy bear. So I thought it was so out of character. You throw a guy out of the house, you rip the check up in front of his face, why don't you just tell him, keep the check and get out of here, or whatever, you know, I don't know. It was so not like him. So I waited till everybody left, and I asked my father, what was that all? And then, like nothing happened, he calls on the next guy, like, just kept going. So I asked him after everybody left. I said, what was that? What did you get so upset? So he told me that they say in the name of the Brisker Rav, the Pasuk says, Tachanunim Yedaber Rush. Tachanunim Yedaber Rush means, one who is poor speaks, Belashon Tachanunim. Tachanunim means with submission, with humility. If I'm really in need, when I go to people and I ask them for something, you give off a certain impression of how needy you are. So the Brisker Rav said, if you have a person who comes and speaks with gaiva and with chutzpah to you when they're asking, it means they're not poor. Because the Pasuk says, Tachanunim Yedabarash, which is true. So my father said, if he's willing to talk back to me like that and be so disrespectful and be so arrogant to my face, get out of my house. It means you're not poor. You don't deserve anything. I'm not going to give away my charity to somebody who's not poor. I'll save it for someone else. So he says, I don't have anything wrong with him, but obviously he's not poor. So he told him to leave the house. That to me was amazing. I remember every year, Sukkot, I know it's almost Pesach, but every year before Sukkot was the same thing. I would go with my father to buy a dalad minim, and everybody got all excited when Rav Schechter walked in to buy his dalad minim, not knowing how fast it takes him to buy a dalad minim, right? So you see these pictures of Eretz Yisrael and the shuk standing there with their loops and with their magnifying glasses and looking and things like that. My father, every year, goes to buy dalad minim. He asks the person, okay, can you give me a few that look nice? The guy gives him a couple of things that look nice. And I do remember one year there was a young girl, probably 13, 14 years old, who was working behind the stand. And she didn't know what my father was. So he walked in and he asked somebody, can you give me something nice? She says, like, oh, well, you have to know what you're looking for. So he says, maybe you can explain me. And he sat there and he's listening to this girl who knows nothing about Hilchos Dalad Minim, but it's explaining to him, you know, you have to make sure that the top is not split. You have to make sure that you have a pittim on top. And my father says, really? Does every Esrog really need to have a pittim? She says, yeah. You know, if you really want Mahudr, that's what you need. Anyway, I was like amazed. He's standing there like listening to this girl give him a whole lecture about something she knows nothing about. And it was just, you know, he's standing there patiently. He thanked her. He bought from her. And then we went to another store to buy from somewhere else because he's like, these are totally not kosher, but you don't want to make her feel bad. It was amazing. I have amazing stories. But anyway, so every year we come back from Dalad Minim, it's the same thing. He's a real tzaddik. It's not zelo normali. So I remember every year before Yom Tif, my father used to say the same thing. You go on to buy the Dalad Minim. Everyone assumes Rav Schechter needs, you know, the $500 set of Dalad Minim because he's so machmir about everything and needs to have the best of the best. If you know my father, you would know never, ever in a million years would he do that. He always goes and says, get me a Mahudu Dalad Minim. They show him a nice esrog, a nice lulav. Okay, it's $100. We used to come home. My father would say, okay, so we should have spent $250 on a set of Dalad Minim because really we should have bought that. However, we didn't spend it. Why didn't we spend it? Not because we were cheap, but because why should we spend it? If we're supposed to give money to Aniyim to be able to make Yom Tif, why should we spend $250 on Dalad Minim that we don't have to spend? He used to sit down every year and write the extra check out to Tzedakah from what he didn't spend on the Dalad Minim. Because he said, if I have a choice to either buy a more Mehudar Dalad Minim or to give more Tzedakah away to people to help them before Yom Tif, that's of course what I'm going to choose. This is a way to go into Yom Tif. This is the way it's supposed to be. So anyway, getting back to where we are here, the Rashba says, the reason why we don't recite a bracha when we give tzedakah is because we don't know with certainty that the other person's going to accept. If we don't know they're going to accept, how can I make a bracha that may turn out to be a bracha levatala? So that is the opinion of the Rashba. Other Rishonim give other reasons why we don't recite a bracha. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, the only time you make a bracha is when I'm doing something that is so obvious that I'm doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. When I'm shechting an animal. There's no other reason to explain why I'm standing there with a knife. Just kill the animal. Why do it with a knife? And why check the simanim? And why do everything the way we do it? It's obvious it's only because kiddushanim and mitzvosa v'tzivanu. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to do so. On my own, I would never do such a thing. So why am I doing it now? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do this. So the Rishonim say the only time we recite a bracha is when it's something that is not a mitzvah sichli. Or when you're doing something that, even not being a Jew, they would do. There are many non-Jews who are very charitable people as well. You don't have to be Jewish to know the value of giving charity, the value of giving back, the value of helping other people. So therefore, we don't say Kiddushan Mitzvah Tzivanu because when giving tzedakah, it doesn't highlight the fact that God shows us. It doesn't highlight the fact that I am the Yama Nivchar and therefore I give tzedakah. It doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the Kedusha and that's why I'm doing this mitzvah ben adam l'chaver. That's something that anybody would do. That's common decency. So when it comes to mitzvahs like that, perhaps we don't recite a bracha. Okay, when talking about tzedakah, when thinking about personal obligations to charity, it is extremely important that the first question we think about is, what is the origin of that money? Is this kosher money? And that's what I want to talk about. This is something that is mentioned in Chumash with regards to Karbanos. This week's parasha, we start to read about Karbanos. And the Pasuk says in Sefer Malachi, the Gemara learns from here a whole much larger concept. The Pasuk says, Vahavesem gazol ve'es hapiseach. The Pasuk in Malachi talks about bringing a karban that was stolen. So I stole an animal from someone else. Now I want to bring it as a karban. So the Gemara says that would be unacceptable because of a larger principle of mitzvah haba be'aveira. If you have a mitzvah to observe, you have a mitzvah to fulfill, you cannot allow yourself to facilitate the fulfillment of that mitzvah by violating an aveira along the way. So when it comes to tzedakah, it's the same. We need to first look at where the money came from, and only then do we have a right to think about giving it away to tzedakah. Pasuk says in Sefer Mishlei, if you look here at number Gimel, Pasuk says, Yad liyad lo yinake ra. That's the Pasuk. So what does it mean, Yad liyad, one hand to another hand, lo yinake ra, will not wipe out evil? What is that a reference to? Says the Medrash as follows. Let's read the Medrash together, but the Medrash isn't on here. Oh yeah, bo re'ei, shtei yadayim yesh lo la'adam. Medrash says, we all have two hands. Im gone ba'achas, v'nosein tzedakah ba'acheres, lo yinake. Don't think that if I steal with this hand, but I give charity with the other hand, that is going to whitewash all of the geneva that I did. That will not absolve you of the wrong that you have done. And although it makes you feel better, because it's lowering your guilt, now that you feel I've done something constructive for the world, I've done something to contribute to the world, says the Pasuk, Yad liyad lo yinake. If you do one thing with one hand, and it doesn't correspond with what you're doing with the other hand, one will not balance or cancel out the other. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly, that we do not accept money for tzedakah from someone who we assume is a ganav, from someone who we assume stole money. We don't take it. Because we are concerned that if it's stolen money, it cannot be used for tzedakah. The Meiri, some Rishonim explain the reason why is because not just the fact that we don't want to take stolen funds, but rather beyond that, we don't want to be mechazek ovrei avera. Sometimes you have a person who's involved in a major financial scandal, then they turn around and they donate a building to a yeshiva. Why? Why? Because they're such big tzaddikim? Not because they're such big tzaddikim. Sometimes they do it because they want to do tshuva. Sometimes they do it because they want to do tshuva. Now, if you want to do tshuva, you shouldn't have your name plastered all over it. Shem Risham Yirkov, right? The Torah says, somebody who did something terribly wrong and caused a massive chilul Hashem, we don't go and celebrate that person. If you want to do tshuva, says the Gemara, Gazel es harabim. What if a person steals money from lots of people and I don't know how to retrace my steps, I don't know how to give back, I don't know how much I took from everyone, what am I going to do? The Torah says, Veheshev es hagzela, you have to give back, so what do I do? So the Gemara says, the way to counteract that maisa gzela of the rabbim is, I should do tzarchei rabbim. Go contribute to the local shul. Go contribute to the local mikvah. Go build a highway. Do something that's going to help the tzibur. This way, the chances are that the people who you stole from are going to get benefit monetarily in some way from the money that you contributed toward this communal enterprise. That's the way you're supposed to do it. So if somebody steals money and then wants to give money to build a yeshiva, to build a shul, somebody wants to give money to build a mikvah, to help build a highway, to build a mule, whatever they're going to do, but they're doing it because it's part of their tshuva process, then of course we have to encourage them to do tshuva. But they shouldn't put their name on the building. Shouldn't put your name on the building. But if somebody is doing it, say the Rishonim, only because they want to try to rationalize their behavior or justify what they have done, and by giving money and supporting this cause, they're now going to feel that that's going to compensate for the terrible act that they have done, that's why we don't accept it. Because a person has to understand, you cannot do tshuva for gneva until you give the money back. And by giving the money to a communal organization, that is not going to help at all with what it is that you have done wrong. There's an important comment made by the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi writes something amazing. You look here at number Hey. It's in a Sefer on Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Truma. Torah says, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li truma, ve'eis kalish, asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es trumasi. Torah says we should collect the truma from all the Jewish people, and they should all make their contributions to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hine ba parsha zu achari parshas mishpatim, says the Beis HaLevi. You think it's arbitrary? Why do we have parshas truma immediately following parshas mishpatim? Explains the Beis HaLevi. Dibitchila kodem shiyasa adam staka b'mamono. Because before we talk about making any contribution to the Mishkan, as wonderful of an enterprise as that is, as in as much as we want everyone being involved, says the Beis HaLevi, the first thing we need to know is tzarech liro shelo yehe b'mamono chashash gezel. First, we need to learn Parshas Mishpatim, which is all about Bein Adam L'Chaveru, which is about how to treat other people's property, which is about how to deal with it if I damage someone's property. How am I supposed to pay them back? What am I supposed to do? Once I have those rules and regulations set straight, and I know what my responsibility is toward the money and property of other people, and I know that all the money that I now have is kosher money, then I can have a discussion of the Ikhli Truma. Then I can get to step B, which is give away money to tzedakah. But before you first check out and make sure that your Bein Adam L'Chaveru dealings with other people is kosher, the discussion doesn't even get off the ground. There's nothing to talk about. You cannot use any of that money for even the greatest of causes, which is the building of the Mishkan. And that is what he says in Lokain, Ein hatzedakah mo eles lo klal. Your tzedakah doesn't do anything. Don't think that by giving the tzedakah that is going to redeem you. Don't think that that is going to rectify the terrible action of your stealing just because you're giving it away now. Rav Moshe writes a very, very strong and powerful tshuva where he's discussing in Chelek Chosha Mishpat about yeshivas that take advantage of the government and they cheat them on the lunch programs. So maybe you don't know so much about it. This was a very, very famous issue that the government was giving funding if a school was willing to give out food to the students. And there were many schools that were lying about how many students they had. And then when the government came to check out what was actually happening, you're claiming you have 1,000 students in the school, let's come see one day. They packed the classrooms with, you know, where they were moving kids around from here to there, moving them buildings, in order that it should look like they were entitled to all the government funding. Now, there were those who claimed, how else are we going to build the yeshivas? How are we going to pay the teachers? What are we going to do? We're not going to have an educational system. We're not going to have our children be able to be in a chinuch environment. The only way to do it is to steal and cheat from the government. And after all, it's just the American government anyway. We're not stealing from Jews. you're stealing from non-Jews, and it's just the government, which is not really a person, it's just an entity. What's the big deal? They'll never catch us anyway. All of these claims that people had. Rav Moshe decided it was time to put down, in his opinion, what he felt was the appropriate response to all of these wonderful tainas and sometimes very well-meaning people who decided that we're going to cheat the American government in order to bring about a greater good for the community. Not for themselves. They weren't being greedy. They were doing it in order that the school should be able to last. Is that something that is acceptable or perhaps not? Let's make it clear before we start. The answer is no. So in case you cut out in the middle of the tshuva, the answer is no. But let's see how he formulates it. Be'isser, so he starts it with the same premise. Be'isser lemostos ha-Torah likach mehamamshala yoser mekefisha ha-tanayim shekava. He starts off the tshuva by saying this is about the prohibition for a Jewish institution to take money from the government that is more than the deserving or allotted amount that they have set aside for each of the students. When we're talking about this Medina Shel Chesed, says Rav Moshe, this is a great kindness of our government. Whereas we had Jewish communities in so many other countries where the government used to persecute them, where they didn't let them observe Shabbos, where they didn't let them educate their children. Here we have a generation in America where we're so blessed that not only do they give us religious freedoms, they're willing to give money to the educational institutions that we open. Amazing, says Rav Moshe. Take a moment to recognize what that means, says Rav Moshe. Hashem Yisbarach berachamav hamerubim al sheris hapleita miyehudi kol medinos Europe. We have so many Jews who came over from Europe that were, not so many, so few that came over after the extermination camps in Europe. U'she'eris gedoli Yisrael v'tamideim havir l'kan. And there was a small number of great Talmidei Chachamim who were saved. And now here they are in America. And as a result of that, Nosdu Mekomos HaTorah Yishanim Shemei Yurov V'gam Chadashim. Now we have the old yeshivas from Europe were reestablished here, and there are many new schools that were opened here as well. V'ayidei Shemalchus Shel Chesed Zu, and because we live in such a generous country, Shekol Matarasa Hu Lehetiv L'chol Toshavei HaMedina, the whole premise, the whole foundation of this country is that we want to be a democracy, and we want to try to do what's best for all the citizens. Now, it doesn't always work out that way. Not every citizen is always going to be happy. Maybe you don't like the decisions of this government or the last government, but that's the way it is. But for the most part, on the whole, says Rav Moshe, you have to recognize that the whole foundation of the American society is we want to have the best life for all the American citizens. That's what we try to do. That's what we strive for. Liberty and justice for all. So says Rav Moshe, Himtzia kama inyanim shel. You see what that says? Because they're so generous, therefore, they came up with an idea of all kinds of programming. Right? So Rav Moshe often in his tshuva takes English words and transliterates them. Those are the hardest ones to understand. So here he says they came up with programs. Lazer letalmidim shebechol batei hasefer shebemedina. They'd like to help all the students who are in the various different educational enterprises throughout the country. Sheyuchlo lilmod lehizgado b'limudam, that they should be able to be educated and serviced and provided for in their studies. Okay, now he writes, next paragraph, Aval vaday anachnu muzharim mehashem yizbarach shetzivanu b'sarasa akadosha lizaher milikach yoser mekefi shetanayi hamshala kavulite. One has to make sure, he says, that you don't ever take more than you are deserving of. Even though you're going to go bribe and sweet talk a government official who's going to sign off on you, he's going to be a part of the scheme, and he's going to sign off on it and say, yeah, I came to check it out and you're entitled to it. But you know that it's not based on the American government's understanding of what you really deserve. You wouldn't be allowed to lie with the amount of students that you have, shalavad shu iser gezel, aside from the fact that you're stealing from the government, hare ikav azeh gam isurim gedolim shel amir ashkarim uchzavim ugnev hasdas, so many problems involved, gam chilul Hashem ubizayin haTorah v'lomdeha ve'ein bazeh shum horas heter ba'olam, says Rav Moshe. There is no justification in the world to take government funding in an illegal way. Ukemo shehakadosh baruch hu sone gezel ba'ola, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely abhors one who steals an animal with the intent of bringing it as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Now you say, what do you mean? I'm stealing it not for myself. I'm not greedy. It's not because I'm hungry. I'm stealing it because I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to connect with Him. Still, Says the pasuk, absolutely not. That's not acceptable for a karpan. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu, sone b'tmichas hatar v'lamdeh ayidei gezel. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely hates and abhors those who steal money in order to try to uphold a Jewish institution of learning. That's what he says. Next paragraph. V'av shechas v'shalom lo nechshadu rashi yeshivas amenalim. Shem yira shamayim laver al yisuri gezel v'imre sheker v'chazav v'gnevas das. We know that no respectable person would ever violate all of these prohibitions. V'lo al dina demalchus al dina b'shum haras heter ba'olam. And nobody would ever violate the Dina de Malchus Adina, which means if the law, the country, expects us by law to behave in a certain way, we have no right to violate that. And of course, he says nobody would ever do that purposefully. Because they know that if you do that, you're going to be punished in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. And it goes against everything we're trying to inspire a Talmidim toward. What does it mean? What does it look like? My father once said this to me. There was a certain yeshiva where somebody, a donor, had given money. And then the donor ended up going to jail. It was a very public case. And there was the main building of the yeshiva was named after this person. So the yeshiva didn't ask me to ask my father. I just asked him on my own. If you were in charge of this yeshiva, what would you do? He said, you have to take the name off. So what do you mean you have to take the name off? The person gave the money years ago. So he said, yeah, but you can't have a name like that. What message are you giving the Talmidim? What message are you giving the students? You're trying to tell your students everyone should live upstanding, erlich, wonderful lives as Jews. By the way, the name on the building is somebody who we all know was not an honest Jew. So what message does that give over? Says Rav Moshe. What is that? You have a question? Yeah. Sure, meaning if they know it was stolen money? Yeah. Shalom Eda. You know, I'm not judging these people. I'm not a businessman. I don't know or fully understand the taiva of somebody who has $1 million going to do some illegal scheme to get another $1 million. Yes, the pasuk says, "Oiv kesef lo yizba kesef." Somebody who loves money is always going to want more. Somebody who doesn't have so much money doesn't have these problems, right? Marba nechasa marba daiga. Too much money is not so healthy for people. I can tell you firsthand. I speak with a lot of people in our neighborhood. Money doesn't bring people happiness all the time. Money sometimes is able to help them in other ways, but money does not bring people happiness. I sometimes wish. Of course, I would never do it to disclose anyone's private information. But I'm telling you, there are houses in the five towns where I know what goes on behind those closed doors. I know how much medication these people are taking every day. I know how depressed they and their children are. I know how little shalom bias they have between themselves and their spouses and their children. And people drive by these homes and literally say to themselves, wow, like I wish I could live in such a house. And I always want to say, I wish I can just bring you in to get a glimpse into what's going on in that house. To understand that this money doesn't bring you any happiness at all. Not the point of today's shiur, it's for another time. But says Rav Moshe, Lehizar, they asked me next semester to give a class on business ethics. Which sounded interesting to me, but whatever they decide to do is fine. Have you ever had such a class here?
There is?
And were they interesting? Good? Did you learn a lot?
I haven't taken
I'm saying this is where it starts. This is what it's at.
Where they're interested.
Yeah, this is important. Important stuff to know that. So Rav Moshe says here. Yeah. So Rav Moshe says we have to do whatever we can to make sure that we stay very far away from these kinds of things. And even further, if you look, the Ramchal writes in the Mesilas Yesharim, if you turn the page, the Ramchal writes in the Mesilas Yesharim something that is obvious but is so instructive, where he talks about how important it is to make sure that we never cheat or steal from other people. And then you go to the second paragraph. He says, Klalo Shaldavar, Hasachar Eitzel Chaveru Le'eza Malacha Shatiyah. If you are hired by your boss, by your company, for whatever job it is, says the Ramchal, This is based on the Gemara in Brachos. Kol sha'osav mechuros hein lo liyama. If you're paid to be in the office from 9 to 5, it means they own you from 9 to 5. So when you go and check your emails in the middle of the day, and you're not working as a result of that, you're stealing from the company. Now, there's one major caveat, and that is, if the company understands that there's a certain portion of the day that you're going to be doing other things, they don't expect you to be working every second of the time that you're there. A person would never be able to focus for so long. But if you're going beyond the expectation of what the company has, I remember when I was in the White Shul, I used to give a Parsha Shir every week on Thursday afternoon. I think it was from 12 to 12:30 on the phone. People used to call in. Whatever it was some kind of idea on the Parsha, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't remember, something like that. So there was a woman who came to me, and she was very upset. Why was she upset? She says, I want you to shut down your Parsha call. I said, why should we shut it down? We have tons of people who call in. I thought it was such a nice thing. People were calling in the middle of the day. Why should I shut it down? She says, because I have three young women who work in my office, and every Thursday when it comes to your call at 12:30, none of them are anywhere to be found. They're all on their phones listening to this thing, and we can't get any work done. So it's not right. You're stealing from my customers. I said to her, you're a horrible boss. You should go speak to your employees and have a discussion with them. Either you think this is appropriate or you think it's not appropriate. If it's not appropriate, it doesn't mean you shut down the shul, the shir. It means you tell your employees you're stealing and you're not entitled to call into the shir. It doesn't mean we kill it for everybody else. But again, says the Ramchal, we have to make sure that whenever we do a job, whenever we're hired to do something, we give it our all. We do everything we can to be honest and upstanding and forthright about what it is that we were entrusted to do. Next paragraph. V'lo od. Not only that. Ela afilu mosa mitzvah bizman melachto. Even if I do a mitzvah while I'm trying to do work. So I'm supposed to do work and instead I call into the parsha shir. Says the Ramchal. Lo letzdaka techashiv lo ela averahi biyado. That's not tzedaka. That's not a good thing. That's averahu biyado. That's a terrible thing. And he goes on and on to describe this point. And he says, if someone steals bread from another person, and they then decide to use that bread, and they're going to make a bracha before they eat it, of course, and they're going to bench after they're done, says the Gemara, Ani Hashem Sone Gezel Ba'ola. I'm not interested in your brachos. You stole it? Now you need to make a bracha on it? I don't want to hear it. Says the Ramchal, this is something that we really need to keep in mind. And I think we're just going to end here, because I Baruch Hashem, have to go to a simcha. But I think that it's important for us, especially when before Yom Tov, we think about how important and how central the whole idea of tzedakah is to everything we believe in, of what Simchas Yom Tov is supposed to mean, and the way the Rambam formulates what Simchas Yom Tov is supposed to be as the experience for all of us, it's important that we use it as an opportunity also to think about the fact that we all need to be aware of the origins of where our charity money stems from. And the first thing we need to do, like the Beis Halevi said, is learn Parshas Mishpatim. And only after we're done with Parshas Mishpatim can we have a discussion about Parshas Truma, about giving money, about being people who contribute to society in different ways. But the first thing that needs to happen is we need to make sure that we are erlof, that we are upstanding, that everything we have is honest, and that we don't cheat other people. My father often tells the story that he was at a wedding, and he was asked to be one of the Eid Kiddushin. So fine. So Eid Kiddushin has to be someone who is honest and not a ganav, and somebody who can really be a kosher aid. So that's why I was at a wedding 2 weeks ago where they called up two Eid Kiddushin that were, you know, totally, I'm not saying they were ganavim, but not respectable people at all in the room. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The most important kibud at a wedding is the two Eid Kiddushin. People don't realize that because they say, oh, you don't have a speaking part. But that's the most important kibud. If someone asks you to be an Eid Kiddushin, means they actually trust you, that you are someone who has not done anything inappropriate in monetary matters. So that's a big deal. So my father said he was at a wedding, and they called up the two Eid Kiddushin, and my father was not one of them. One of them was sitting next to my father. He was a famous Rav, and he was talking to my father. So my father said, they just called you up. You should go up to be the Eid Kiddushin. They're waiting for you. He says, no, they'll get someone else. So my father thought it was so strange. He says, no, you don't understand. They called up your name. Why don't you go? He says, no, they should find someone else. He kept pushing back, find someone else. My father said, you don't understand. The man didn't walk up, so they called someone else. Okay. They thought he wasn't there. They didn't notice. He called someone else. My father said the next day, in the New York Times, they had an article about this person that he was caught on a major fraud, money laundering scandal. So my father said, you know, at least he was an Erlich Haganav. At least he was honest enough that when they called him up as an Eid Kiddushin, he said, all right, I'm going to passel the marriage if I go up, so I'm not going to take that. And he was willing to embarrass himself that, you know, people saw that he was there and they realized he wasn't going up. But he said, at least, you know, he's an honest, he's an Erlich Haganav. That's the way it should be. I mean, we shouldn't have gotten of him in the first place, but at least if you're going to be a Ganav, be Erlich about it. But again, it's important that whenever we talk about this issue of tzedakah or many other things that require us to use our own money, we have to make sure that all the money that we have came to us in a very kosher way. And if you're from a family, not looking at anyone because I don't know any of your parents, but if you're from a family where maybe honesty is not the strongest of values or virtues, one of the girls in one of my classes this year came over to me and said, you know, what should I do? I live in a community where this is what everybody does. You know, everybody steals and everybody cheats the government. I said, look, I don't think you're going to change your parents. I don't think if your parents are part of a community where this is the culture and this is what everybody does, you're not going to change them. But you should resolve for yourself that as you go into the world and as you build your own home, you don't want to have them on these kinds of foundations. I don't want to buy a house where it's going to be from stolen money. And I don't want to raise my children and send them to school based on money that is not really deserving to me. Your parents' cheshbon, that's, you know, that's up to them. It's not your job to be the policeman or the policewoman of anyone else. But it's important that for all of us, we try to emphasize the importance of this idea and how central it is to everything that we do, especially around the time when tzedakah is a major focus. It's just a good opportunity for us to be reminded of our obligation and our responsibility.